Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 288 shows and counting this evening. And want to welcome all you new listeners aboard. I hope you enjoy the show. Keep coming back. Keep spreading the word out there for all these animals in need. And all you returning listeners, thank you enough. All your support and getting the word out there and your help. It takes teamwork to see any victories out there. So we all got to always stick together, come together, take action is the key to unlock the door for all positive changes to be made for the animals. I just want to go over a couple things before I bring the guests on board. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals, coming live to you every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, everyone. All these shows are archived, so you can go back and listen to them anytime, 365 days a year. And on the left-hand side of the screen, you can share to other social media sites, Facebook, Twitter. You can email it. You can copy it. The cross is all of them, WordPress. Pinterest. I mean, the list goes on. So I don't think there's a social media site out there that it can't be shared to. But I was just going to go over a couple things. I will be taking calls at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And here's the number is same every Thursday. If you want to listen by phone, you could also use Skype, and that area code's 310-982-4270. Press one in the queue, and that will alert me that you want to come on and speak to the guests. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, conversations, TVs, radios, and you're more than welcome to come on board. We're going to have another great show this evening. Thank you to all for making all these shows such a success. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, Marty Oakley. A big shout out to her. Thank her for, she's from the roots of who got this started, Voices Carry for Animals. I was a host for 163 shows. And after that, I went on my own and she helped me and we stayed great friends ever since, and a great team player. So if you ever want to look these shows up, go on the PPJ Gazette on the right-hand column under search and just search Voices Carry for Animals. That will lead you to all the links to these shows. Press which one you want to listen to. Wait a minute. Press the arrow. Wait a minute to download, and it will play. And like I said, you can share from the left side of the screen or also on the PPJ Gazette on the bottom of each article. And if you want alerted to follow my shows, on the right-hand column also press follow, and every time there's a new article on or podcast, it will alert you in your primary email. So, and also on Blog Talk Radio, you press follow below my Animal Advocates Radio logo, and that will also alert you on the show. But I want to go ahead and bring my guest on. We've had several guests from Animal Well Action on here. They've been super, and they're always welcome back. All the staff out there, a huge thank you, a shout out for all you're doing for the animals in need. Marty Irby, he's the executive director. He was an awesome guest, and he will be back in 2021. Holly Gann, she's also awesome. Joshua, I got to get his last name again, but he was awesome too. So we got a great, great crew going there, big staff. And the one thing the Animal Wellness Action says, helping animals helps us all. And the Animal Wellness Action Champion calls that elevate the suffering of animals. And to prevent cruelty to animals, we promote enacting and enforcing good public policies. To enact good laws, we must elect good lawmakers. So I'm going to bring him on board. His name is Wayne Pacelli. He's the president of Animal Wellness Action. So honored and such a pleasure having him on this evening. How you doing, Wayne? Welcome aboard to Voices Care for Animals. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm a lot better starting at 7 p.m. Eastern because I get to do the show with you, Debbie. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, anytime, you know, I mean, this is such an honor to have you on and all you do. You are a true inspiration to animals and humans. Yes, and well, I love this. Well, I'm all excited, well, you know, to have you on.
Well, we're in this fight for animals together, and it's great to know that there are others who share our passion for fighting for animals. So that is what is really special about Appearance.
Oh, yeah, it takes teamwork, and there's a lot of animal lovers out there, advocates and, you know, organizations that's helping them out, and that right there is just outstanding. I mean, you love seeing it because, you know, we all have a heart for animals out there and want to stand up and speak out for them, you know, because when animals and humans come together, the bond is so magical. If you give them a chance, and we could communicate with our pets at home. I mean, it's just amazing how close we can get and how they bring us up. They're uplifting, you know, and it's awesome. Yes. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say it's so true. We're so connected to animals. And I think that, you know, our instinctive caring and attraction to animals really gives us a head start in doing the right thing for all animals, right? I mean, we know that pets in our lives and our wildlife in our backyards, but it's not just those animals. We need to be concerned about animals everywhere, and that's why we at Animal Wellness Action are fighting for them everywhere, all kinds of animals, domesticated animals and wild animals, and we all have duties toward these other creatures. They depend on us.
That's right. And we got to make them live comfortably in peace and happiness and not in fear and anxiety and torture and abuse and neglect. There's no excuses for that. You know, we all share this earth temporarily. We got to make the best of it. And from every animal out there, I always say all lives matter, and all, including all the animals, because they do matter. And they deserve our attention and our care. You know, we won't come face to face with a lot of them, but at least what we can do, get our voices out there. And just by the, you know, what we hear in the news or on the social media, we can take action. We being silent is not, it's just going to make it worse. So we do our best. We have to. They deserve it. And then a big hug coming to you there, Wayne, because you are awesome. Everything that you do, I mean, wow, it's so impressive. you know. So
I've been at it a long time. I started an animal advocacy group when I was a sophomore in college, because I was, you know, learning about animal problems, about factory farming, about trophy hunting, about the fur industry, about testing of cosmetics on animals, and so many other practices. And I decided I didn't want to be a bystander. I thought, well, how are we going to solve these problems? It's not going to be by sitting on the sidelines. It's going to be by getting involved and trying to educate people. And I really never turned back, and I've had the privilege of working with a number of organizations in our field, and I formed Animal Wellness Action almost 3 years ago now. And we, as you noted in your introduction, are trying to change the legal framework for animals, to have laws to forbid cruelty to all animals, and then to enforce those laws, because it's not enough just to have a statute or a regulation that purports to help animals. We have to make sure that those laws are actively enforced. And that's what we do every single day at Animal Wellness Action, and also with our partner organization, the Center for a Humane Economy. And that partner organization really pushes corporations, businesses in every sector of the economy with exposure to animals to do better. So we want food and agriculture companies not to, you know, buy factory farm products. And we want pharmaceutical companies to move to alternative testing methods. We want energy companies to be attentive to wildlife and not kill birds and other creatures. So there's something for so many companies to do to make things better, but we also have to have laws, and that's where Animal Wellness Action comes in as well.
Yeah, the laws are so important, and, you know, each one of us, and I do it myself, besides this, you know, radio platform, is contact state legislators, you know, and get with them, write emails or call them or write letters, you know, send them facts. You can even, you know, meet them in person. And you can start legislation, too, with a constituent bill proposal form. You know, request that from your state rep, fill it out, send it out for draft to get approved to go in legislation. And you're on a roll. You started right from the get-go. I mean, it's awesome. So everyone out there, do your part, you know. Put a little love in your heart and do your part and help these animals, because it's amazing. I've seen, you know, this year because of COVID-19, you know, there's a lot of curveballs hit because of the laws been putting on the back burner, and we can understand that. But things are turning around. It's got a high survival rate, 99.something%. But these animals, we can't forget about them. We can't forget about these other problems that exist, because they're not going to go away. They're just going to get worse if we don't pay attention, you know, and keep them going. And it takes every effort counts out there, everyone. The audience out there,
well,
listening. Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that it's really so important, as you noted, to ask people to contact their legislators. Most people don't even know who represents them, and they rarely ask them to do something. And we're right on the cusp of a national election. And this is a good time to remember that the people who serve in office matter. And the folks that we elect, whom we elect, some of them care about animals and some of them don't. So we have to really be aware of what the stances are. We have on our website, animalwellnessaction.org, we have a roster of federal endorsements. We have provided a detailed examination of where Vice President Biden and President Trump have stood on animal welfare issues in an objective, dispassionate way. We produce that information so you, as a citizen, can, you know, base your vote on animal welfare. You know, there are a lot of other issues in the world, and if we don't stand up for animals and demand that elected officials better care of them and support standards, I'm not sure how things are going to change for the better. It's very important that each of us learn about the stances that candidates have on animal welfare issues.
Oh, yeah, that's so important. And everyone, please get out there and vote on November the 3rd if you haven't already, because it's so, so very important, you know, for 2020, because we want to, you know, a better 2021, right, Wayne? We want to see things going in another positive direction. So please get out there and vote.
The world is becoming more alert to animals, but there are setbacks all the time that also occur. But the general trajectory is people are much more caring about animals. But there are a lot of us people, and a lot of the abuses are hidden. You know, factory farming occurs in some remote area in a windowless building, or we don't know what happens in a pharmaceutical lab if they're testing on beagles or some other creature. And it's up to us to really be aggressive to address these questions in our society.
We have to all, you know, stick together and do what's right for the animals and not put them on the back burner because, you know, they're important to us. We, like I said, we share this earth temporarily. We got to make the best of it. And when those victories come through, and I noticed there was a lot of victories coming in 2019, and that takes teamwork, everyone. A human chain reaction here. You know, making them phone calls, writing them emails, signing those petitions, whatever it takes, you know, to get to the goals we want to reach for them. And I was telling Wayne earlier, you know, the animals really thank all of us when their lives and futures turn for the better. They can't tell us, but we can tell. I mean, if you see some of these horrific or painful photos or videos and they start to change where animals are enjoying their freedom, and that's just from every angle of, you know, coming through, then we know we're not spinning our wheels, and I don't think we'll ever be spinning our wheels getting our voices out there for, you know, the suffering of companion animals, farm animals, wildlife. I mean, the list goes on. So we cannot give up, because if we do, we automatically lose. So, Wayne, I wanted to get started here on the topic of our kangaroos are not shoes campaign. And I also have the petition on the PPJ Gazette for people to sign and pass around if you want to get it from there. Or it's on their website, everyone. And, you know, keep pushing that share button. Because once I get started here, Wayne, I'm going to be passing it to Pinterest and more on Twitter, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn. So I want to get probably tomorrow I'm going to get this thing really moving. Because once they go viral, them signatures get up there. I've seen it happen so many times, and it's wonderful, you know. Just sign, share, you know. So
it makes a big difference.
Yes,
it makes
a
big difference. Thank you for sharing that. That's how people are alerted to these issues. Well, just, Debbie, to give your listeners some background, so the Animal Wellness Action and the Center for a Humane Economy, with our partners at SPCA International, we have launched a campaign called Kangaroos Are Not Shoes. And this campaign is trying to build awareness about the mass killing of kangaroos in their native habitats in Australia, 2 million kangaroos a year for their skins to make athletic shoes, specifically soccer cleats, and Nike, Adidas, Puma, and five other major shoe manufacturers are essentially taking these skins and making them into cleats. And the public has no idea, for the most part, that kangaroos are being killed. Now, we got interested in this, Debbie, because we saw a year ago the terrible cataclysmic fires that scorched Australia. I mean, the amount of death and suffering was incalculable. I mean, one scientist said 3 billion animals died in Australia because of the fires. And I thought, my God, with human effects changing the atmosphere, changing the temperature on the continent, and these fires, you know, raging and getting out of control, how could these animals survive? And I thought, well, on top of that, then we're allowing commercial shooters to go in and kill 2 million kangaroos in what is the largest wildlife slaughter in the world of a native species just for shoes, when we have models of shoes that are made from plant-based products or synthetic products that are used at the highest levels of soccer competition in the world. This is not needed. There's nothing so distinctive about kangaroo leather that it must be used for soccer cleats. And these companies have mainly gone vegan in the way that they produce shoes for running shoes and basketball shoes and others. There's just no need to do this for the soccer cleats. So we have a dedicated website, as you mentioned, kangaroosarenotshoes.org, and we want people to become educated and get involved in our campaign. And we want people to write to Nike and Adidas and the other companies to apply pressure on them to change their supply chain and to exclusively source their products from synthetic sources or plant-based sources and not from wild animals. I mean, this is like in the 19th century in the U.S. slaughtering the buffalo by the millions, you know, to make coats or to make hats. This is not acceptable any longer in our society. It's the 21st century. And by God, Debbie, these animals are the symbol of Australia. They're the symbol of Qantas Airlines.
Yes, they are.
They're the symbol for the airline. They're the symbol of so many aspects of what Australia is all about. And for the government to allow the slaughter for this gratuitous purpose is infuriating to me. So we want people to get involved. And soon we'll be working with our allies in Congress, because Animal Wellness Action works to lobby lawmakers and drive the agenda at the national political level to help animals. We'll be working to introduce the Kangaroo Protection Act to ban any interstate transport, any imports and exports of kangaroo parts into the U.S. And this would forbid Nike and Adidas and the other companies from making their shoes from the skins of kangaroos and then selling them in the United States.
Yeah, we need change, because that's, what'd you say, how many a year? 2 million? I mean, that's
2 million.
A lot. Wow.
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh,
and
man,
it all happens,
so sad.
It happens all one at a time. You know, they go out at night, these shooters do, and they're in a truck and they are driving on the dirt roads, and they spotlight one of the kangaroos or 10 of them. They gather in groups that are called mobs, and they may shoot all of them, and they try to shoot them in the head. But it's dark, it's the middle of the night. If they injure them, the kangaroo can often hop away and can't be followed. They might kill 50 or 60 in the night, and then they leave them out for a while, and then eventually it takes 4 or 5 hours to get them to the chiller so that the meat, you know, doesn't get feeded. They try to make some of the meat into dog food, but it's been spoiling for so long that that's unsafe. It's certainly not fit for human consumption, but then they take the skins, and that's really the high value product out of the slaughter. And they essentially get them prepped, and Nike and Adidas and the others then take those skins and make them into soccer cleats. And most consumers have no idea that this is happening in the United States in terms of the sale of the product. And the killing, of course, is happening in Australia, where kangaroos are native.
This is so, I mean, it is devastating. Over 2 million a year dead. And I mean, yeah, we need change bad. I mean, this is so, I mean, it's so gut-wrenching to hear this and to know this, and that this keeps, well, the true thing is, what we allow is what will continue. And that's when we got to step up, everyone. So please do your part and sign this petition. And pass it along. Let's see how many we can get up there, because I'm going to be on it, and go from there. You know, let's back them. Let's stand with them. Let's stand with Animal Wellness Action and help them out. You know, visit their website and their Facebook page, and they're even on Twitter. So I mean, I'm on all three of them, and I'll jump over there a lot. You know, and see what there is, and retweet it, whatever it is, you know. So I'm getting the word out there. That's
well,
so
you
important.
Sure are, Debbie. Yeah,
yes.
You sure are. And let me just mention, if I might, you know, one state, California, bans the sale of kangaroo parts. And since 2016, the law has been in place. We did an undercover investigation and a documents investigation and determined that 2/3 of California-based retailers that sell shoes, so it could be a Nike outlet store, it could be Nike.com selling into California, could be Extreme Sports, whatever the store is, they're selling athletic shoes, and included in the offerings are models of soccer cleats. We found that 2/3 of the stores were ignoring California's law. So we did a press conference, we alerted the media to this problem, got attention to the issue, and we've been following up with law enforcement authorities in California saying, hey, the law is the law. And the law says you're not supposed to ship the parts of kangaroos, and you can't do it. If Nike manufactures it somewhere else and they want to sell it in California, that is forbidden. So we're trying to get that law enforced. And now, as I mentioned before, our next step, once we get market in the United States, about 15% of all sales in the U.S. of soccer shoes come from California, so that's a big chunk of the overall picture, then we want to have that policy adopted at the national level. And that's why we're working on the Kangaroo Protection Act. And, you know, when you see these animals, they're remarkable creatures. You know, they don't look like any other creature in the world. We saw so many of them suffer because of the fires. There were heroic efforts to save animals who had been burned. Wildlife rehabilitators and others cared for them, only then to release them back into the wild so perhaps they could be shot by these commercial shooters. I mean, why would we have this cognitive dissonance and allow this killing, yet at the same time, so many good people were working to save kangaroos who'd been threatened by the fires? So I think, Debbie, you know, we really need to take a broad look at how we treat animals and get a little bit more consistency. And obviously the wildlife rehabbers have it just right. They're caring for animals in need and crisis and in distress. And why would we allow this other set of individuals to kill animals for a non-essential product in this day and age? It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, keep it up. Let's see some changes happen. I mean, just to hear, you know, this devastating news, over 2 million killed. And, oh, I mean, these animals deserve better, all of them. They deserve the best, live their lives, because they're only on this earth temporarily, you know, and they should be more dignity and respect here. I mean, animal cruelty is animal cruelty. And if they got to suffer and get killed because of their for shoes and everything, there's other ways around this where, you know, we can go. I mean, it's just plain and simple. And there, Wayne, we want to get on to this about we got some real important topics tonight about the buyout of the American Mink Farms. You want to go ahead and start that, because I want to get as much in as possible and get the word out there and look forward in 2021 to have you back on again. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Well, you know, this is another example of our killing of animals for their exteriors, you know, for their skins, for their fur. And mink are in the mustelid family. They're weasels and ferrets and otters and others. You know, they're long, narrow bodies, and mink are a semi-aquatic species. They're wonderful creatures, yet they have been exploited for hundreds of years in the fur trade because of their beautiful look. And we kill them historically with steel jaw traps or snares, capturing them in the wild, killing them, and then stitching together their coats in order to make a fur to adorn people and, you know, way back when, to keep people warm from the cold. But just as with the kangaroo skins and the athletic shoes, we now have outerwear garments that are functional, fashionable, and that don't require us killing animals for their fur. And of course, in terms of warmth, it's ridiculous. I mean, no one who is an Arctic explorer who goes to the North Pole or to the South Pole would ever be, you know, wearing a bobcat coat or a wolf coat. They'd be in Gore-Tex or they'd be in some synthetic product that was lightweight yet incredibly warm. And, you know, this has been part of our legacy as a species, that the fur trade was a big global business. It was certainly very big in North America for centuries. But we now have options and alternatives, and we don't need to kill animals by capturing them with steel jaw traps and then killing them with snares or conibear traps. But the other way that we obtain fur is we raise them on factory farms. And mink are the primary species raised for fur. So you basically, you know, at about 200 operations, private operations in the U.S., there are mink farms where the mink are raised like chickens in cages. But mink are carnivores. They are not a herd species or a flock species. They are overcrowded. They can get aggressive. They can resort to cannibalism. They need water to be psychologically healthy. It's part of their normal environment, but they're kept in cages on the land. And then they grow in this horrible, extreme confinement facility, and then they're killed by manual neck breaking or by gassing them to make furs. And we kill in the United States 3 million mink a year, and we're mainly exporting the mink to China because there's no market really in the United States any longer for mink. U.S. produced mink pelts are far in excess of what Americans want in the marketplace. So we're selling them to China. Now, the rub on this issue, Debbie, in addition to the cruelty, is that mink are the most susceptible mammal, along with humans, to COVID-19. And there have been major outbreaks in Europe, in the Netherlands, in Denmark, in Spain, in France, of mink farms being COVID hotspots. And the mink are not treated. You know, if a person gets quite sick, then the person goes to the hospital. We don't have a vaccine yet, but there are palliative treatments and there are other forms of treatment to try to get a person through the affliction so the virus doesn't kill the person. But obviously we've had 220,000 plus people die from COVID in the United States. Well, the mink are dying by the tens of thousands on American mink farms because of COVID-19. The conditions are so overcrowded, the animals are packed together, that it creates a perfect environment for super spreading of the virus. And the animals succumb to the same afflictions that we get if we were to get COVID-19. They have respiratory problems and organ failure and all sorts of problems. Now, in the Netherlands, it appears that it was the humans that then transmitted COVID-19 to the mink. And in a couple of cases, the mink then transmitted the virus back to people, making the mink farms a serious threat when it comes to our overall larger strategies to contain the spread of COVID-19. Because if we don't contain the spread, then we can't have a functioning economy. We can't have social interactions with one another that, of course, were customary until we had the COVID outbreak in the United States. So we are taking risks by having these mink farms in the United States that workers are then going to get infected and then go into their communities and spread COVID to family members and friends and other acquaintances. And we're doing this to supply mink coats, a luxury product, to the Chinese. Well, the Chinese started the whole COVID pandemic by mistreating animals at live wildlife markets in Wuhan. And this virus then was launched throughout the world, afflicting tens of millions of people throughout the world. The economic cost, I believe, is about $20 trillion to the global economy, $20 trillion. And now we're flirting with these mink farms and not shutting them down, even though they could be the next incubator for the rapid spread of the disease in more American communities. It doesn't make sense from a public health perspective, and from an animal welfare perspective, the treatment of these poor mink is unconscionable. Again, all for a luxury product. So that is the message that we at Animal Wellness Action are sending. We want people to get involved with our campaign to stop fur farming in America. In the Netherlands, which is actually historically has been a very big fur producing country, the people of Holland have been so concerned about animal welfare that legislation was passed in the parliament there to phase out mink farming by 2025. But the concern about COVID has become so urgent that government authorities have accelerated the elimination of mink farming and are going to do it by March of 2021. We should be doing the same thing. And if it requires a buyout of the mink farmers, then so be it. We've got to stop tormenting these mink, and we've got to stop threatening our public health by allowing these mink farms to operate.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's all, you know, plain and simple, because that's torture. I've seen, excuse me, Wayne, you know, on videos, I can't even finish watching the videos of how these animals get tortured so bad just for their fur, their mink. You know, I mean, it's horrifying. And it's so injustice to them. So it has to be stopped. I mean, it's just terrible. Animal cruelty is animal cruelty. And, you know, right in front of your eyes, front lines or animal cruelty in the first degree. There's other ways we could go, and we don't need their mink. Let them live freely. You know, next week I have a show, something we brought that up. But there's going to be an animal activist coming on next week. He's going to bring the, you know, the awareness of animal cruelty happening at the fur farms in Ontario. So it's going to be another great show, everyone. So it has to be brought up to the spotlight, you know, focused on and fixed. And go and, you know, open your eyes and open your ears, your mouths, because we're the only hope for these animals to carry on. You know, it can't go on decade after decade after decade. And all this abuse, I mean, it's terrible. These animals deserve a lot better. I mean, it's sickening what's going on, and we will make sure we're not going to give up. Right, Wayne? We're going to keep going. We're going to,
no,
you know.
And I think, yeah, and Debbie, I mean, why your work is so important is that you're shedding light by bringing in speakers and talking about these issues yourself. On problems that we are often physically removed from. Very few of us realize or have ever seen, of course, a mink farm up close. I mean, they conceal what happens by putting these animals in warehouses. They're very nondescript buildings. They're off the beaten path. How would you even know? And this is what groups like Animal Wellness Action and others do, is they investigate these sorts of places, tell the real story, and then really question whether this use of animals really meets our moral tests and our moral standards. You know, the definition of cruelty is the infliction of pain and harm on an animal in a gratuitous or unnecessary way. Well, to me, this is cruelty because the animals are suffering horribly. They're in environments that are totally unsuitable. They're basically immobilized. They're overcrowded. They're engaging in social aggression because they can't handle the situation. And we're killing them often in inhumane ways at the end of that miserable process. And then we're doing it for a product that we don't need, because human innovation has enabled us to have other shoes, to have other hats, to have other coats, to have other types of gloves and other garments that obviate the need for this sort of production practice. I mean, if we don't have to do it and we can look just as stylish and be just as warm when the winter winds hit us, why would we do this? I mean, it's just because we've been doing it for a long time and because some people are making money on it and they develop these rationalizations to try to justify it. But how can it be justified to treat animals this way? We know they feel, we know they suffer. They have lives that matter to them, just like we have lives that matter to us. And I really want lawmakers and other influencers to understand that we're making a very logical and precise argument here. And again, it's one thing if it's 1700 or 1800, and there are no stores, and it's cold, you're in a northern latitude, you need warm clothing to survive. Okay, you can understand that people furs at that time. But this is 2020. Human innovation has delivered us alternative garments that meet all of our needs. In fact, we can replicate the precise look of fur. So if you had a particular taste for that type of coat, a mink coat, you can get it. But why would we torment these animals? I mean, people who don't act on this, I think it's the worst, most appalling form of selfishness, Debbie. I know you feel the same way as I do, that they're just demonstrating a total lack of concern for other life forms on our planet.
Yep, that's where we're on the same wavelength, you know, because there are a lot of, you know, loving, caring human beings out there. But then we got the other ones that, you know, the selfishness comes in, and or the greed comes in, profit before animals, and they don't care what kind of pain they go through. And that's the sad part with their lives, you know. It's just so, I don't know, I look at it and I get so, you know, upset sometimes seeing some of this stuff so many times. And it keeps happening, you know, just like this mink. We don't need mink on this earth, you know. Let these animals live free, their freedom, and enjoy it, you know. So everyone out there, do your part. I mean, visit the Animal Wellness Action website. See how you can help out. And I've even shared all your petitions on there, Wayne. I signed them also and shared them to other social media sites. They got some hot topic petitions, everyone, on there. So if you just go to animalawarenessaction.org and go to the link Take Action, there's plenty of them on there to sign and share. You know, that's where, and you know, these petitions do work. I've seen them work, and I've seen them not work, where the petition holder, you know, just keeps holding on to it and holding on to it. And something's been going on for years. They have to download the signatures and head to the politician's office, because the politicians are the big dogs. That's where we got to connect everybody and, you know, vote animal friendly politicians in that love animals, that care about animals, you know, because everybody has a heart on this earth. Just some that, you know, some are heartless. You know, so we all breathe the same, and we can't discriminate against them, because animals deserve the best. I mean, that our attention, and let them live their lives in freedom, you know, dignity and respect, and that goes for all of them. You know, so do your part. You know, take that action, because I remember the PACT Act last year, Wayne. Prevention of Animal Cruelty Act. And I remember Marty Irby seeing a photo of him shaking hands with President Trump. That's a victory in itself. And that petition, the last time I seen it, was over 850,000 signatures. So that took a lot of teamwork. You know, so we cannot. And it was awesome.
It was years in the works. We lobbied on that bill. We came up with the concept some years ago, and you know, eventually got it done with persistence. And as you said, Debbie, people signing the petition, people contacting their senators and U.S. representatives and demanding action. How are the politicians going to know how to act if their constituents don't alert them to the issue? There are thousands of bills introduced in Congress. The only way they get attention is if they keep hearing about it from their constituents and demanding action. That's the way change occurs. That's the way our political process works. And Debbie, you're obviously very active, but I think most of us can be a little more alert to these issues and a little more active. And yes, we're asking you to be, you know, take time from your schedule to do some of this stuff, but it's warranted. The animals need this. This is a crisis situation for them. And a little bit of focused energy on our part can really make a big difference. And the PACT Act, the Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act, which for the first time established a national anti-cruelty statute in the United States is a great example of that. Another great example is our work to ban all dogfighting and cockfighting throughout the United States. The
Yes.
U.S. territories like Puerto Rico and Guam have been allowing cockfighting. They don't have prohibitions, but we passed a federal law to apply the national standards to all of the territories, and now we're working to enforce those laws. And it only came about because enough people joined with us when we launched the campaign to get the legislation over the finish line. And lawmakers had heard about these problems, so when presented with a potential legislative action to address the issue, most of them had the instinct to support us. And of course, it'd be a hard-hearted person to want to sanction or allow dogfighting or cockfighting, but again, we had to put the issue on the radar screen, and then people act in response. So I think that's just so important.
Oh yeah, once they get involved, I mean, like I, you know, besides this radio platform, Wayne, I sign petitions, I help pass. You know, I'm an admin on several Facebook pages and groups. I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest. So I'm trying to hit all angles. I mean, I added up to all where I'm groups and admin on pages and media sites. And we're looking over, I count up, it's over 120,000 people, okay? But I can't really count that many because some of them are doubled over to Twitter or, you know. So getting the word out, or if they're active, or, you know, if they're just, you know, come on Facebook or Twitter once a month or once a week. But just getting the word out there, you know, taking the time, it's so important. In an hour, you wouldn't believe how much, just taking action within an hour, how much I could get done. You know, I mean, it's amazing. So the longer I do it, the faster I get. And then I've even, you know, trained different, you know, Facebook friends or advocates to start their own pages. So, or groups, you know, help them out. And that's just the chain reaction going and helping these animals out. You know, every effort counts, making those phone calls or, you know, writing letters, writing emails. It's so important. And Ray Bittner, a former guest, he always says, you know, strength in numbers, which is so true, because the more of us come together, the stronger we become, and the faster those victories will hit. You know, so we cannot say victories don't hit, because they do. I mean, in 2019, there was a lot. I lost track of them. There were so many. You know, so hopefully after 2020, and we're coming up the sidelines of 2021, we can see those victories coming in left and right for these animals again, and let it get started up, because every day, every hour, every minute of the day, suffering, you know, they suffer and suffer and suffer, and we got to get them to a better lifestyle and let them enjoy their lives, no matter what animal it is. You know, they so well deserve. And without advocates out there, can you imagine a world without advocates, animal advocates and advocates? Oh, my goodness. And organizations like you got, I mean, wow, it would be 100 times worse. So
it really would. It really would. Yeah, it really would. I just I reviewed a book on our Animal Wellness Action website. I write a blog called The Policy Animal. And it was a book about Henry Berg, who started the first humane organization in the 19th century in the United States. And he was just possessed with this idea of helping animals. And he'd be out on the street stopping people from beating carriage horses. And he tried to stop live pigeon shooters, you know, who had competitions to shoot the animals like animated targets. And he was working to stop the trade in frogs, where people would eat, you know, get these frogs collected from their habitats and then eat them in frog soup. I mean, he was really a pioneer. And you think of the foresight and the vision and the courage that a guy like that had when no other groups were formed. Well, now we have thousands and thousands of groups. We have books and literature and documentaries and advertisements and so many things to alert us. And really what we ask is that people be civic minded, that this is one of the major contemporary social problems in our society is the systemic exploitation of animals for food and for textiles and other garments and for testing and wildlife management. And, you know, these things are going to persist unless enough people demand that they change. And the way that you do that, as you said, Debbie, is through collective action, that people of conscience get together, and together we deliver a big message with thousands or hundreds of thousands of communications to lawmakers and others. And I really invite people to get involved with us because, you know, we're trying to identify vulnerable forms of animal exploitation and apply enough strategic pressure to turn these problems around, either by getting lawmakers at the federal, state, or local level to pass a proscription or a prohibition on an activity, or to get a corporation to change the way it operates, like asking Nike to stop sourcing kangaroos for its shoes. That's so easy. The company has so many fabrics available to it. They've been innovators in this. They know so much more about it than anybody else. But for whatever reason, they thought that, well, it's okay for us to participate at the back end of this kangaroo killing chain. And it's not acceptable. And Animal Wellness and the Center for a Humane Economy are demanding a moral examination of this question and an exercise of alternatives, because the alternatives are just fine. Soccer players around the world already use non-kangaroo fabric shoes.
Yep, and it's that they're innocent animals. I mean, they don't deserve that. I mean, there's so many, like you said, there's other angles we can go for the shoes and the belts and the hats and the clothes and all this other stuff, because these animals deserve, you know, as many get killed per year. I mean, that is so heartbreaking right there, right off, to even hear that, to even know that. So everyone out there, just, you know, keep spreading the word, because awareness, education, prevention is the key. You know, taking action right there. If you want to see a change happen, be part of it and take that action and do something. You know, we look at these photos and these horrific videos of it, and it's like we have to do something now. We cannot keep letting this happen, you know, decade after decade after decade, because we could talk about as much as we want to on this radio platform or social media or between all of us behind four walls. But if we don't take that action, nothing's going to change. You know, we're on this radio platform and all these, you know, successful shows, all the important information, amazing guests, you know, keep spreading the word. And visit these websites that we're giving you, you know, or the Facebook page or Twitter, and see how you can help out. I mean, mine's never end. I always multitask. You know, Wayne, I even stand up for elder abuse against that, and that needs a lot of help right there. I mean, it's like, whoa, you know. It's like pulling teeth getting help for the elders. And we're all going to become the elder, right? If we're here long enough on this earth, and they need help. So, you know, so I multitask and try to get the word out, and I'm going to keep these shows going as long as I possibly can, Wayne, because I know I am not spinning my wheels. You know, I just keep bringing the guests on, all the animals are, you know, our animal friends in need, and do what's right. It's not what's wrong, what's right. Getting the word out. And you can listen to these shows worldwide, everyone. All of them are archived, you know, recorded live every Thursday and archived on Blog Talk Radio. You know, I was on the TS Radio Network, 163 shows host for Marty Oakley. And she has some hot topic shows. So, you know, we cannot give up, because if we give up, we automatically lose for the animals. And they're so innocent, you know, they're defenseless, helpless, voiceless. Let's do what's right for them and keep up, you know, keep the action coming for them in the positive direction. because we can't, you know, just like with this radio platform, you know, I can get on or talk as much as I want to. And I got to take action myself, everyone. I just don't do the radio and say, okay, goodbye, I'm done. I've done enough. No, take action myself. And I feel good about it. I mean, anytime I, you know, take action, I feel good about it. It's worth my time. And I know it's meaningful time. And I know Wayne probably feels the same way, too. He knows he's been in for a long time now, and he knows that he's not spinning his wheels. He's seeing some positive victories coming through for the animals, you know, lives and futures. And they stand up for a lot of them. I've seen it on your website and Facebook and all of them because I, you know, visit periodically, a lot, really. So I see something I want to share it or retweet it or, you know, do what I need to do. And once tomorrow hits, I want to be on there, you know, sharing this kangaroo petition. And everyone out there, please do the same, because our kangaroos are not our shoes campaign. And when you keep up that great and inspiring work you're doing, because it means so much. And, you know, strong leaders and supporters leads to strong victories. And that's what we need, you know. So you're a strong leader out there and a strong voice. And your staff is also strong and out there fighting hard. Great crew you got. Great staff. And that's what it takes. Great teamwork. Keep it up.
There are a lot of dedicated people. I'm privileged to work with some of them and privileged to be on your show. And I'm so grateful to the listeners for, you know, hearing us talk about these issues, because, you know, without them, you know, we're not going to make any progress. We need participants. We need an army. We need a team, as you say.
That's right. That's right. Teamwork there, Bill Wayne. That's what that means so much. Teamwork rocks and teamwork wins. And let's see, you know, coming up, let's see some more strong victories coming through. That's what it takes. All of us coming together as one and taking action and not sitting back and closing our eyes or our ears or our mouths, because that's when the problems worsen. And we want to see them better. And everyone, please visit animalwellnessaction.org. And see, you know, check out their, you got an awesome website there, Wayne. Awesome. And also on their Facebook page and Twitter, Animal Wellness Action. So they got some great, I mean, reference website and everything that you can check out and pass along. Because it doesn't stop here. It keeps going. But we're down to 2 minutes here, Wayne, and I want to really thank you for coming on Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 288 shows and counting this evening. And you keep up that great work you're doing. You're a great inspiration to humans and animals. And looking forward to having you back on in 2021. How's that? And also, Marty.
This will be great. My pleasure. Thank you so much for your clear voice on these issues, just really reminding people of these basic values about being good to other creatures, because they matter too.
That's right. And it doesn't cost a dime to be kind to an animal, Wayne, at all. It doesn't cost nothing. Like, just it doesn't cost anything to be kind to each other out there. And once you're kind to an animal and give them the respect and dignity they deserve, the bond is magical. It's awesome. But everyone, thank you, Wayne. Want to welcome you back in 2021. Thanks for everything you're doing in Animal Wellness Action staff out there. Big shout out to all of you. And let's see some more victories come in. But next week, we're going to have Malcolm Klimowitz. He's an animal activist raising awareness on animal cruelty happening at fur farms in Ontario, Canada. Want to welcome him aboard. It'll be his first time. Want to thank you all, listeners out there, for tuning in this evening. Hope you keep coming back, listening worldwide. All these shows are recorded live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide. Thank you, everyone. Remember, November the 3rd, if you haven't, yeah, please get out there and vote. And this Halloween, make sure you protect your pets out there, okay? Thank you, everyone, and have a peaceful evening. Good night. Good night, Wayne. Thank you so much.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Animal Wellness Action, everyone. Thank you. Call in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect and foster.